hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and continue our look back at the recent Rio Olympics in Brazil. Ed Hula is the founder and editor of the Olympic website AroundTheRings.com. In an interview with my VOA colleague Victor Beatty during the closing ceremonies in Rio, Ed said the gamble on whether Rio would be ready to host the Games appeared to pay off.
The Games have finished with a glorious ending for Brazil on a unfortunately rainy night. But besides little problems, nothing big, nothing bad. And Rio, I think, has proved that it could host its version, a version of the Olympic Games.
What lessons could possibly be learned from some of the small problems, the organizational mishaps, ticket fiascos, green water, street crime?
Well, you never know what will happen. You have to be prepared for a little bit of everything. To me, the biggest lesson for these Olympics is the scale, the distance required to go from one event to another, the time that you spend in transit going to events. And I think that might have helped make it more difficult for them to fill some of these stadiums for the events. The difficulty, the hassle factor, if you will, of trying to get to Olympic events.
What were the highlights as far as athletic competition?
There are highlights just about every day of the Games. The first full day of competition, Brazil wins its first gold medal in judo. And events like that that have favored the home country are really important. Brazil avenged its World Cup humiliation against Germany in the gold medal round of men's football. An incredible experience as Brazil wins the men's volleyball gold medal. Really, the whole city erupted in a collective cheer when the final point was scored. The highlights are really revolving around sport competition here in Rio, much more so than the nagging problems that they've had.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Certainly, Usain Bolt and what he did, it happened here in Rio, and it's something that it will take years, if it ever happens again, to complete that 3-in-a-row gold medal.
Ed, were you surprised that the Americans seem to dominate the medal standings?
No, not at all, but I think they've done a lot better than maybe they had thought they would originally. The final match of the basketball tournament was the United States playing Serbia, and they really put it to the Serbs, who were clearly the underdogs in that contest. The Americans didn't win everything, but they did a very, very strong performance here, and I think they're pleased with the way that's come out for the United States.
Ed, it's on to Tokyo. What can we expect there?
Well, Tokyo is going to be sort of a similar kind of canvas to Rio de Janeiro in some ways. Venues are spread all around Tokyo. For example, cycling is about a two-hour commute from the center of Tokyo. With the addition of five more sports, that's a 33-sport program that will be a challenge for journalists to cover. But on the other hand, you look at these five new sports for Tokyo, and I think that's going to be one of the most anticipated games in a long time. We'll have the addition of surfing, skateboard, sport climbing, cool stuff like that that is supposed to jazz up the Olympic program.
That's Ed Hula, the founder and editor of the Olympic website AroundTheRings.com. And Ed was talking with my VOA colleague, Victor Beatty, from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Ed mentioned five new sports jazzing up the 2020 Olympic program in Tokyo. Rio officially handed the Olympic flag to Tokyo on Sunday. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach entrusted the flag to Tokyo's new female governor, Yuriko Koike. And the IOC president also said the Rio Games left a unique legacy for generations to come. The official estimated cost for the Rio Games ranges somewhere between $4.5 billion and more than $6 billion, far lower than the Sochi and London Games. Some of that money was spent on glossy infrastructure projects that were expected to be a lasting legacy of the Games for Rio. But as VOA's Jeff Swicord reports, the social cost associated with all that development will affect some of the citizens of Rio for the rest of their lives.
Daniel Campos built his house in the Curacica neighborhood north of the Olympic Park piece by piece when he had the money. In 2012, the police showed up at his door saying he had to leave. His house was considered in the way of the then-to-be-built Trans-Olympic Highway, which could carry athletes from the Olympic Park to venues in the Deodoro area. When he and his neighbors resisted, he says the city allowed him to stay, but opened the sewer covering in front of their houses.
They said they were going to remove this covering that people had built to protect themselves from rats and cockroaches and the sewage because it was prohibited to have that covering, and they were going to clean up the river. Until now, they haven't cleaned up the river.
The city installed these dangerous walkways across the sewer to the houses in the neighborhood. Daniel had to take in several cats to keep the sewer vermin out of his house. The investment in infrastructure that includes highways, rail lines, hotels, and sporting venues is a positive outcome of the games. But that development has come at a social cost. It is estimated 20,000 people in Rio have been evicted from their homes for Olympic development. Robert Muga is the research director at the Instituto Agarapi, an NGO.
And these are people who were literally told overnight to leave their property, often with the use of force involved, with militia groups involved in coercing people and forcing them to leave. And this obviously is a terrible legacy of the Olympics, and I think will have implications long after the Olympic Games and the athletes pack up and go home.
74-year-old Anita Sousa says the city wanted to put her in her shelter and knock her home down.
I got really afraid when I heard we have to leave, and I was sad when I saw them taking out the neighbors' houses. And then it started getting dusty, and I wasn't eating properly. And that is when I got sick.
She claims she developed pneumonia from the dust. The construction vibrations damaged the structure of her house. City officials now say they can stay, but have refused to fix the damage to her house. Jeff Swicord, VOA News, Rio de Janeiro.
VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
In more Olympic news, American swimmer Ryan Lochte's four commercial sponsors have dropped the 12-time Olympic medal winner after he admitted that he exaggerated his story about being robbed at gunpoint in Rio. Swimsuit company Speedo, clothing maker Ralph Lauren, the Japanese mattress manufacturer Airweave, and the firm Gentle Hair Removal all announced they would no longer be working with the 32-year-old Lochte. Speedo said it'll donate $50,000 of Lochte's fee to Save the Children charity to benefit Brazilian youth. Lochte admitted Saturday he over-exaggerated assertions that he and three teammates were the victims of an armed robbery at a Rio de Janeiro gas station. Lochte insisted, however, that he did not lie, but still issued an apology. Ryan Lochte initially said that he and three teammates were robbed by gunmen early last week after their taxi was pulled over by armed men posing as police. Rio police rejected this version of events and accused Lochte and the others of lying. Meanwhile, U.S. Olympic Committee CEO Scott Blackman says Lochte and his three teammates will face disciplinary action. Blackman did not offer specifics, but he expressed frustration at their behavior. "They let down our athletes," he said. "They let down Americans." Elsewhere, the U.S. Olympic women's basketball team certainly didn't let down Americans in Rio. The American women won their sixth consecutive Olympic gold medal, spanking Spain by 29 points in the final. VOA's Park Brewer tells us more from Rio.
The United States finished off a dominating performance at these Olympics, beating Spain in the gold medal match 101-72. Heading into the final, the U.S. women had been overpowering in Rio, winning their previous seven games by an average margin of close to 40 points. And the high-scoring game against Spain was the sixth time in their eight contests that they scored more than 100 points. U.S. coach Gino Auriemma said his team played basketball at a very high level at these Olympics.
Obviously, it was an incredible tournament for us. It wasn't as easy as sometimes it looked, you know, because of our depth and because of the experience that we have on our team. We were able to separate ourselves, but the way we played, we respected the opponents and we respected the game itself, and we earned a lot of respect from, I think, a lot of people around the world, and I'm really proud of that.
U.S. team captain and guard Sue Bird.
You can talk about the 100-point games and, you know, the margin of victory, but we played our butts off. I mean, we really did. I don't think I've ever been around a group that's this talented and also played this hard.
That's quite a compliment, because Bird has been playing for the U.S. national team since 2002, and this is her fourth Olympic gold medal. Despite the loss, the Spanish players, like Ana Cruz, said they can hold their heads high because the silver is their nation's first Olympic medal in women's basketball. She said this was the most important day in her sporting life.
Because I've been for 15 years in the national team, and this is my third Olympic Games, and to be in this podium and have this silver medal, for me, it's everything.
In the bronze medal game, Serbia defeated France 70-63. Park Brewer, VOA News, at the Rio Olympics.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life. Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Happy 58th birthday to Luis Piazet, my Olympic buddy in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Luis filed daily reports during the Rio Games, and with a musical soundtrack that included Carmen Miranda and Eric Clapton, Luis chronicled the highs and the lows, the joy and the pain, the sunshine and the rain of the 31st Olympiad, the first Olympics ever held in South America. Happy birthday, Luis! More Olympic news. Ethiopia says it will not bar Olympic marathon silver medalist Faiza Lilesa from entering the country after he made an anti-government gesture crossing the finish line. Faiza held his arms over his head, wrists crossed, as he ran across the finish line in Rio de Janeiro on Sunday. Faiza was mimicking a sign taken up by protesters in Ethiopia's Oromo region. Faiza was protesting what he says is the Ethiopian government's killing of hundreds of the country's Oromo people, the country's largest ethnic group, which has long complained about being marginalized by the country's government. After winning the silver, Faiza told a news conference in Rio And I quote, "The Ethiopian government is killing my people, so I stand with all protests anywhere, as Oromo is my tribe. My relatives are in prison, and if they talk about democratic rights, they are killed." Faiza also said he had not decided whether he would return to Ethiopia, saying he feared consequences if he went home. An Ethiopian government spokesman dismissed his concerns, saying he would be welcomed along with other members of Ethiopia's Olympic team. Ethiopian athletes won 8 medals in Rio, 1 gold, 2 silver, and 5 bronze. Ethiopia's Almaz Ayana won gold in the women's 10,000 meters, setting a new world record of 29 minutes and 17.45 seconds. Almaz broke the previous mark by more than 14 seconds, setting off questions how she could have obliterated the record. However, keep in mind, Olympic fans, that race in Rio was extremely fast overall. Multiple national records were set, and 18 Olympians set personal bests. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and welcome back, Andrew.
Sporty greetings. Thank you very much, Sunny. Good to be back, even though the vacation was maybe a little more fun than being at work. It's good to get back into the swing of things here at VOA.
Andrew, you're looking rested and refreshed, and I know...
If only our listeners could see, I feel I'm beaming here, yeah.
And I know perhaps Rio is still trending among the social media venues.
Yeah, well, in a case of perfect timing, so thank you very much to Twitter and Facebook, they put out all of their stats on the Rio Olympics and the usage of social media during the Olympics. So we'll talk a little bit about Facebook at the Rio Games. 1.5 billion Facebook interactions, 916 million interactions on Instagram. And so I just want to tick through some of those numbers behind all those interactions. The 1.5 billion interactions on Facebook came from 277 million unique users, so almost 300 million people around the world using Facebook to communicate during the Olympics. For Instagram, it was about 130 million people around the world. And with our top moments, I mean, none of these are going to be surprising to our listeners. You had Usain Bolt as one of the top moments, Neymar scoring that goal for Brazil and getting the men's football team the win. But then you had some surprising moments. In addition to the athletic moments, you had, for example, Zac Efron surprising Simone Biles. Now, this is something that we had talked about.
With a little peck on the cheek,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes. In fact, that was, jumping to Twitter for a second, that was the most retweeted tweet having to do with the Olympics, was actually the little video of him giving Simone Biles a little kiss on the cheek. But, yeah, these moments outside of the athletic events that we start to see creeping in through social media, which shows, as we've talked about many times before, that it's not just about the events themselves. It's about kind of the behind the scenes, getting to know the athletes.
Andrew, speaking of Facebook, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. My address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And on Wednesdays, we have what's called Watch on Wednesdays, Facebook Live at 1645 GMT UTC. You'll get a little peek at Studio 22, and you'll see me and Andrew tomorrow on Wednesday, probably still talking a little bit about the Olympics, right, Andrew?
Absolutely. Oh, there's plenty to talk about with the social media. So, you know, with Simone Biles getting that peck on the cheek from Zac Efron, she was actually the one athlete who had the largest follower growth on Facebook over the course of the 2 weeks of the Rio Games. She gained 1.9 million new Facebook followers. Winning, you know, four gold medals will help that for you, I'm sure. Case in point, also, Michael Phelps was number two, 1.7 million new followers for him. But bested by the 4'8" Simone Biles, she wins the prize of most Facebook followers after the Rio Games.
Do they have a category for Facebook drops? Maybe Ryan Lochte would be leading in that category?
You know, I think he may very well be. They don't mention it here, but I think that could be... after some of the unfortunate news that he's had to deal with, for sure. But, you know, Michael Phelps came in second to Simone Biles there in terms of Facebook gains, but he's actually the top athlete in terms of interactions on different posts and things. He was number one, Usain Bolt, number two, and Neymar, number three. Biles comes in at number four, and number five is Katie Ledecky, another American swimmer who did quite well for herself, who's one of the top U.S. swimmers, male or female. Her and Phelps are kind of the top for each of their genders.
And all of those athletes, you know, they rate right at the top for biggest stars of the Rio Games.
Absolutely, and biggest stars of their home countries, too, arguably. Michael Phelps, you know, only got that 1.7 million new followers, although he was the top interacted with athlete. And that's part of the reason is he uses a lot of Facebook Live. This is something that he's come to embrace. And actually, a broadcast where he confirmed that he was indeed retiring after the Rio Games, that Facebook Live broadcast has over 4 million views. So he got a lot of attention with that. But I've seen in the past, I was talking with one of our colleagues here at VOA about in the past, he's shown people around his house in Arizona where he lives. He's brought Facebook Lives into press conferences, and he's given his fans a way to better connect with him through Facebook Live. So he's an athlete who's really embraced that and has done quite well with that. So again, a theme that we've seen throughout the 2 weeks in Rio, athletes giving us an inside look using these new technologies, using whether it's Facebook Live or Periscope or Instagram or Snapchat, any of these different things to give us an inside glimpse into their lives, not just while they're competing, but being part of the Olympics.
Andrew, what else is trending on the Facebook front?
On the Facebook front, we also have the top events. Now, these are trending pretty much consistently with what we've been talking about. We've been talking about Michael Phelps. We've been talking about Simone Biles. So, of course, the top events that were being talked about on Facebook were number one, swimming, then gymnastics, track, football, and beach volleyball was number five.
So very popular in
very
Brazil.
Very popular in Brazil. Actually, one stat that I saw was that I think this is the first Olympics since they've had beach volleyball where they actually use the sand from the beach. They don't have to truck it in from somewhere else. They're actually using the sand on the Ipanema beach there, so on Copacabana beach. So a big topic on beach volleyball as well. But again, you know, you just look at all of these different stats and the things that are trending, and it's kind of the moments from the Olympics that you see laid out. Usain Bolt is frequently mentioned in the top trending topics as he won his gold medals, went for that triple-triple as he was talking about three gold medals in three consecutive Olympics. The hashtag Final Five, the women's gymnastics team, of course, Simone Biles being part of that. And then Ledecky and Phelps winning their gold medals. Ledecky setting that amazing world record. I think she bested her own record by several seconds and beat her next competitor by 11 or some odd seconds. So all of these athletes kind of rose to the top on social media. Now, the one thing I did notice is it seems to be very American heavy. Now, part of that, I think, is because these social media networks are based in the U.S., so they have a very strong U.S. following. But you do see other moments, too. One of the top posts that had the most likes, comments, and shares was from Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, congratulating some of his athletes from his country that did well in the games. So even though it is very U.S.-focused with a lot of U.S. athletes, we do see these other international moments, Usain Bolt, Neymar, other big international names popping up on social media.
The Voice of America's Andrew Palcheski, and we look forward to having you back on Facebook Live on Wednesday, Andrew.
Yes, watch on Wednesday. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the trends on Twitter.
Thank you, Andrew. And that wraps up the August 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador to Ethiopia Patricia Haslak participated in a signing ceremony in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, August 11, 2016, to award a Julia Taft Fund grant for refugees to International Rescue Committee Ethiopia. The U.S. government is proud to partner with government, international organizations, and NGOs like IRC to support Ethiopia as it hosts the largest population of refugees in Africa. The importance of Ethiopia as a key player in responding to refugee needs is highlighted by the fact that Ethiopia will serve as one of seven co-hosts for President Obama's Leaders Summit on Refugees that will be held on September 20th in conjunction with the 71st session of the UN General Assembly. The summit co-hosts all recognize that the international community must do more to protect and assist refugees. Massive numbers of refugees are embarking upon dangerous paths in search of safety, and millions more face long-term waits in first asylum countries with limited and, in some cases, no access to lawful employment and education while they wait for crises to end in their respective countries. In the lead-up to the UNGA, Ethiopia, the United States, and other co-hosts, as well as other UN member states that join this effort, will make concrete commitments to address these challenges. In 2015, the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration provided nearly $82 million in refugee assistance in Ethiopia, and to date this year has provided over $66 million. Through its assistance in Ethiopia, the United States funding for IRC has allowed it to implement projects that have renovated facilities for the reception of children and adolescent refugees arriving in Ethiopia, developed livelihoods for refugees, and constructed a multipurpose women's center for counseling, training, and community activities. The Department of State is delighted that IRC is the recipient of this year's Julia Taft Fund Award in Ethiopia. This award of nearly $25,000 will boost the availability of safe drinking water and improved sanitation facilities for the 21,000-plus refugees, mostly from Sudan and South Sudan, who live in the Sor and Shekoli refugee camps. The U.S. government looks forward to continuing to fostering our partnership and commitment with IRC, as well as with our other NGO and international organization partners, to assist the refugee population in Ethiopia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.